Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Keeping the football talk going with our man Tim Hasselbeck, who joins us now. He is presented by Southeast Financial Credit Union. On your financial journey, they're with you every step of the way. Check out all they can do for you at southeastfinancial.org. Tim, what's up? How you doing?
Well, great. How you guys doing?
We're good. I mean, a fun football weekend, that is for sure, with with all the college games. I know we usually talk NFL with you, but we're probably going to mix some college in. I mean, you go from starting on Thursday to some fun ones Friday to a crazy Saturday, and they can't get the lights on last night to close it all out. It was wild.
Yeah, wild. And, like, just a reminder, especially with, like, the NFL season starting, you know, a day earlier than it typically would. Like, if you're, you know, like, young guy, teens, 20s, and you're going to get married one day, just know that that wedding can't fall between, you know, like, essentially September 1st and, you know, February 15th.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, plan it now, because football is covering every single day now.
Tim, let me ask you real quick.
Yeah.
You got a daughter, right?
I do.
And your daughter comes to you and says, "Dad, I'm getting married November the 5th. You're going to say, "Absolutely, sweetheart." Right?
Well, listen, I definitely am not like marrying anyone off or getting ahead of anything, but her boyfriend is a football player. So, like, it's like, I think it's, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not anticipating, you know, having to have that discussion.
Tim, keeping with some of the college stuff, you were, you know, doing games for the ACC for a long time.
Yeah.
Clemson. I watched them, and I know a lot of hype's been around LSU, and there was a lot of other things, but it just looked like a complete mismatch. And has it passed Dabo by? Is the portal? Like, what is it? What do you see that's wrong with them?
So I think there are a few things that could be true. Dabo's always taken this position of, we do amazing at getting high school kids to want to come to Clemson. And I think, by and large, under his tenure, that has been true. So they have, you know, out of high school, signed ETN and Trevor Lawrence and Justin Ross and, you know, Wilkins and all these, you know, really, really good players out of high school. And kids like it there. They do a good job retaining them, and so they stay. And so there aren't necessarily a ton of roster spots. And so Dabo's posture has certainly been, why am I going into the portal when, look, we have a guy on our roster that we think is going to be really good. Like, I don't need to go get a linebacker because Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is waiting in the wings here, and so we don't need to replace him. And so I think, by and large, that has been accurate and true at Clemson. Now, a young player who is getting his first opportunity, who might be an amazing player one day, is not as good as the 23-year-old player that's already done it at that level, period. He's not. And there might be a few exceptions, but on the, you know, from the 30,000-foot view, they're not. And so the reluctance to rebuild your roster every year with proven players from other places, and quite frankly, the part that no one really talks about, run off kids that you have developed a personal relationship with, he doesn't want to go down that path. And that is definitely compromising their ability to be as competitive as they've been in years past.
Yeah, I think that's well said. We saw Jared Curtis in limited action, but he made his Vanderbilt debut Saturday night. A lot of fans clamoring to go ahead and just give him the keys to the car. But do you like how Clark is handling this of, you start the veteran, you start the guy that's been in the program for the last few years, take a little pressure off the freshman, and then you don't have the situation where maybe you're playing him too soon and you got to reverse course, which could have a negative effect on him?
Yeah, I mean, start the guy who's the best player. I mean, I think ultimately, you know, the Jared Curtis, when he's Blaze's age, may be better than Blaze right now. But if the best player right now is Blaze, then you play him. And so, yeah, I think we talked about it last week when it was announced, or 2 weeks ago when it was announced. And ultimately, the locker room knows too. And it does not feel to me, I was at the game, it does not feel to me that anybody really felt like anyone other than Blaze should have been the guy. It just is, that's in the program on the daily. And, you know, that to me, I think, is just indicative of, you know, probably how Blaze has performed day in and day out in comparison to Jared Curtis. Now, it doesn't mean Jared doesn't get a shot at some point during the year if it doesn't go well. But, you know, I think ultimately you play the guy that gives your team the best chance to win. And until that guy proves otherwise, he should be the starter. And so, and I think Clark's approach to, like, hey, look, we're going to play him though. And, you know, probably put him in earlier than you would, you know, maybe some other, you know, backup players. Look, I think that's pretty good too. I mean, again, just to say, like, and Jeff Ferris has done a good job at Austin Peay. It was 15-9 at halftime, right? So, like, look, Vanderbilt does not have the same exact team as they had a year ago, and it's important to make sure that you're competitive in the most competitive, you know, league in college football.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, brought to you by Southeast Financial Credit Union. Tim, when you look at a quarterback they come into college, is being able to run almost as important as it is being able to throw the ball?
I don't think so. I think the biggest thing is being able to make good decisions and process. Because I think when a guy can run, Joe, and doesn't process, then he just takes off and runs all the time. And, you know, while that might, you know, in some cases be exciting, and it might in some cases, you know, lead to a little bit of success, in the long run, you just run yourself into trouble. So I really think when a guy can – listen, is the ability to use your legs helpful? 100%. And you see it, you know, often where, you know, a play isn't there and a guy goes and makes a play. But if you can't make decisions and play from the pocket and play in the structure of an offense and you're constantly trying to escape because that's your crutch, I think you eventually hit a ceiling in terms of how good you can be, you know, both as an offense and as a quarterback.
Very good point. Let's talk about Arch Manning. The game on Saturday versus Ohio State last year was terrible up there, but you had said last year, it was like, look, a lot of quarterbacks going into Columbus in that environment, that defense wouldn't have played well either. How important is this game? I know you want to win the game, and I get that, but if you're a pro scout, what do you need to see from Arch Manning on Saturday night, Tim?
I think people will look at this and put too much weight on it, right? I mean, like, he's either going to, you know, win or lose the Heisman week one of the college football season, which is, you know, pretty absurd, right, if you ask me. I mean, you see the preseason polls, and quite frankly, they're terrible. Like, if you looked at the last 10 years and you looked at preseason college polls and the hit rate on who the good teams actually were, I mean, it's worse than 50% in terms of being able to predict it. And so, look, we think both of these teams are going to be really good, but I don't think you really know, right? And look, maybe Texas is better. Maybe Ohio State's better. That, like, it is a dependent position. So I think in a lot of ways it's unfair for that. You know, as for pro scouts, like, I think pro scouts, you know, kind of know what they need to know about Arch. Just I'll put myself in that position. What I would want to see is, if it didn't go well in the game, how does he respond from it in game? How does he respond from it the rest of the year? Because I think what happened last year would have crippled 95% of college quarterbacks. They had gone in the tank. I mean, he was a bust, right? Like, he was Uncle Rico after the game last year.
Right, right.
And he survived it. That's not easily done. So I guess I would just say that, to me, I'm not waiting one game when a guy, you know, is a starter for years.
Well, and that you talk about quarterbacks and the pressure. I'm like, Faison Brandon did a great job. I know it was against Furman on Saturday, but we saw everything we needed to see to say, all right, this guy's got something. And you know this. I don't think the average fan truly knows how much pressure being a quarterback is, especially if you're a guy like Faison Brandon, a true freshman quarterback.
Yeah.
That's a lot on a kid's shoulders.
It is. I will say, and I think that this is the part of this big business that college football has gone into that, you know, has changed. And some of it is probably gambling on college games and all of that. The pressure on guys, in many cases, that aren't old enough to buy a beer, that, you know, understand the toll that it's taking on them. And I'll just take you back to a production meeting I had when I was calling a Notre Dame versus Duke game. And Ian Book was the starting quarterback, and he was a very good quarterback for Notre Dame. And they were preparing to play Duke, and quite frankly, they were going to beat Duke, which they did handily. And you know, I just kind of asked him as we were leaving the production meeting, just kind of, you know, chatting as the meeting was over and we were talking. And I was like, how you doing, man? Like, how's it going? And he just kind of looked at me. And he's like, you know, I'm doing okay. But like, my mom is miserable, though. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, it's just a lot, man. It's just a lot. And I remember thinking, this is crazy. Here's a guy who is the starting quarterback at Notre Dame. Like, this should be the time of his life.
Right.
The time of his life. And because of the stress, the pressure, the scrutiny, the criticism, you know, in this age of, you know, social media and access and all of that stuff, they're not enjoying it. In fact, they can't wait for it to be over. I think that was the comment. She can't wait for it to be over. And I'm like, that's not how this should work. We're getting it wrong as a society if that's the case.
What a story. Yeah, I mean, I understand all that, and that's the pressure of all that. Before we go to the break, I want to ask you, and Chase and I, we talk about this all the time, going for two at the end of the game. I love what Baylor did on Saturday. They went for two because I'm telling you, I got my guys, they're on the three-yard line going in. I'm not giving you the ball back. Did you agree with that call, that what Baylor did? I know it didn't work. I understand that.
Yeah.
But I'm not giving you the ball back.
I think it has to be a team decision, meaning, you know, where are you? Like, I've had games where, like, our defense coordinator will come to me and he'd be like, hey, man, we're gassed. Like, if they get the ball back, they're going to score. Like, it just – that's where we are right now, right? And so it's like, all right, well, like, I'm going to go for it on fourth down. I'm going to go for two. I'm going to – like, I understand the situation now because that's, you know, how we're feeling defensively. You know, or offensively, it's like, look, we're, you know, running the ball down their throat. Like, we love this – you know, concept. They don't have an answer for it. Like, we're going to go ahead and do it here. Like, I think that it really is like a full team decision on, hey, do you go for two, right? Like, that's the – and so if a coach makes the assessment of, look, it's not just about, hey, do I think that we can get, you know, 3 yards and into the end zone for this conversion? It's, look, if we give the ball back, do we stand a chance? Like, did I just lose my defensive end to it with a torn Achilles, and now I know I'm playing a freshman that's not going to get a pass rush? Like, you never know what's in the head of a coach when he's making those decisions. And I think that, like, that's why I hate going back on that. And I appreciate the question of, like, didn't work, but it's still okay, right? Like, because, yeah. I think that 100% can be the case. You maybe are going for it, not loving your play, but knowing that your defense back out on the field is not the answer.
We will have more with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next, including getting into the NFL in week one with him. He's presented by Southeast Financial Credit Union here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and Innsworth football coach, presented by Southeast Financial Credit Union on your financial journey. They're with you every step of the way. Check out all they can do for you at southeastfinancial.org. It gets underway tomorrow, Tim. Crazy that it is the Super Bowl rematch between Seattle and New England. What's kind of your general thoughts on that game, and do you think that both teams can replicate what we saw last year?
Yeah, I think there's a chance both teams are better. Doesn't mean they'll end up in the Super Bowl, but I don't look at last year as like a, hey, they caught lightning in a bottle and they're, you know, not quite as good as, you know, things turned out for them a year ago. So, Yeah, in terms of replicating it, in terms of their competitiveness during the season, yes. You guys know how I feel about Drake May. He's a star. I think Vrabel's a good coach. I think they've got improved talent on their team. So, look, they dealt with some adversity. Now, their schedule is going to be harder. That will provide a challenge for sure. So that's probably the biggest thing when I look at New England in terms of, will they replicate their success? And then for Seattle, like, they just have done an amazing job of getting length and speed and athleticism on defense. They're awesome on that side of the ball. Sam Darnold is a legit good player, not a fluky, hey, it worked out 1 year good player. I think what it comes down to for them is, do they run the football better than they did a year ago, especially in the regular season? So they draft Jadarian Price out of Notre Dame, who was not the bell cow back at Notre Dame. Does he become that in Seattle? I think that he does immediately. And, is that an upgrade for them? And if it is, then they're going to be a really, really tough team to beat.
Kyle Brandt from now ESPN and NFL Network has the Titans as a wild card playoff team, which I mean, look, I like Kyle Brandt and I would love to see it happen. I got to see a lot of improvement to even come close to believing that. But what's kind of your opinion on that? And what do you need to see change in quick order for them to even come close to that?
Well, Benny from the Bronx, I mean, could you have put a wetter towel on that prediction from Kyle Brandt? Like, that was, I mean, the way you're like, you laughed. You kind of like, I mean, for that even to be close, look, I think do you see
what it's like to be a Titans fan? I mean, this is what I have felt since 10 years old.
Yeah. And I would tell you the preseason did not instill much confidence.
No,
it just did not. And so I think we'd have to see a lot because teams in all three, like, there was a stretch over your, 10-year fandom here of the Titans that the rest of the division stunk. And,
sure,
some of it in relatively recent memory. That's not the case now. The division is good now. And so, it's not just, okay, where are the Titans and what's their improvement? The division has gotten harder and is more competitive. And that, I think, is, like, if we're just going to kind of be realistic about what we think the Titans can be, are they better than any team in their division?
No, they're not.
And so, look, so now you're going to climb to the top of the division or, somehow make it as a wild card team when there are plenty of other teams. Look, we just were talking about the Patriots. Well, the Bills are pretty good too, right? Like, there's two teams in that division. Hey, let's talk about the AFC West. Like that, between Denver and Los Angeles, like, you got your hands full out there. By the way, Patrick Mahomes is back. So, that feels like a very aggressive prediction.
Well, here's the thing too, Tim. If you just break it down to quarterbacks, and granted, I know Cam Ward is a second-year guy. He's already gone through a coaching change. He's got a different coordinator. So all that is very valid. But he's not better than C.J. Stroud or Trevor Lawrence. You can make the argument of which one of those is number one in the division. Is he better than Danny Dimes? Not right now.
Yeah, not now. No, he's not right now. You're right. Like, yeah, you play the game. Like, no, he's not. Right now, he's not. Now, look, the best quarterback doesn't always, end up winning the game or the division,
sure,
or anything like that, right? So, that's the, I say, like, it's a dependent position. It's obviously, people talk about quarterback, wins as quarterback stats, all that stuff. But no, he's not. And you could listen, for all the criticism of C.J. Stroud and the pressure that he's under, would you put Stroud in front of him? I believe you would, as would most people. So, yeah, when you look at the division, you say, like, all right, well, like, our team and roster, like, I don't know that I'm necessarily putting it ahead of everyone else. I'm not doing it with my quarterback. And so why do you think you're going to win the division? Why do you think you're going to end up in the postseason? It just, you know, just those things don't math out.
Yeah, I'm with you. And look, I was going to ask you, like, you know, what do you need to see from Cam Ward on Sunday about, you know, this, how many touchdowns, you know, and I throw the stats out because I watched Timmy Chang play at Hawaii throw for 800 yards a game, and they were terrible. But what's the X factor, do you think, for the Titans to win Sunday versus the Jets? And not like Cam's got to throw for 400 yards and five touchdowns, because if he does, that means they're losing because he's having to throw the ball that much. But the X factor for the team as a whole to beat the Jets is –
Yeah. Well, first off, Timmy Chang was a baller. He's actually done a nice job with that Hawaii program.
Yes.
Big follower of the Mountain West right now. Here's what I would say. I don't care about, like, I don't care if he throws a touchdown. I don't, like, that stuff doesn't matter. I don't care if he throws 300 yards. The to me would be, and this just goes back to, like, think back to week one Will Levis, where he actually, like, for the most part, they were playing okay. It was going right. And then it was, like, the awful turnover.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, my gosh, can't believe that just happened. And then it turns the game around. And it really felt like it turned the season around, as crazy as that sounds, at least for Levis. It was like these critical mistakes that were really bad, you know, were hard to digest. So what I would say is no critical error. So no fumbles in the pocket. No interceptions, especially in the red area or backed up. Or on early downs, like things like that would matter to me. And then, like I've said this to you guys, I think the way I would term it is carelessness with the football.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how he carries it, where, you know, does he throw it into harm's way? Those are the types of things, that I think matter quite a bit. And, so, yeah, I mean, that, getting the ball to playmakers, those, you know, the ball getting spread around, two guys that can do things with the football, at least offensively, would be the things I care about.
Ah, okay, good. What's your team that everybody's talking about, like the six or seven teams that get to the Super Bowl? What's one team under the radar, Tim, that you really like? Like, to me, not a lot of people talk about the Packers, and I think that's a really good football team.
Yeah, so some of it is like when I, you know, and this happens at ESPN sometimes, like, who are we not talking about enough? And I'm like, I mean, I don't know who y'all are talking about, right? Like, there's some of that for me. So, like, I don't know, like, are the Chargers a hot team for people? Is that a team that, like, would you consider that a trendy pick?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I just can't trust them.
Yeah, see, like, for me, they got so decimated with injuries last year, and they still were a playoff team with probably the worst offensive line of any team in the postseason. So if they aren't dealing with an awful offensive line for much of the year and an injured quarterback, and they're, you know, doing a better job running the football and all that stuff with their defense, like, they might be a team that people think is the third best team in that division that I think is good enough to win a Super Bowl. So I guess that would be my pick if they aren't a team that's being talked about.
Well done.
And to go the other way, like, I look at two teams like Buffalo and Baltimore that everyone wants to be like, oh yeah, just business as usual. And it's like, I don't know. Like, you make huge changes at the top. Like, sometimes it's harder to get better. I mean, it's easier to get worse than better if you're moving on from John Harbaugh, or you're moving on from Sean McDermott. Like, that would kind of be like, just be like, careful what you wish for sometimes, right? Like,
yeah,
a little bit like Washington, like, oh, we don't want Kirk Cousins. Like, well, be careful what you wish for. You might get worse.
McCauley Friday night on the road.
Yeah, I haven't heard. Are they good?
They're okay. From what I understand.
Where are their kids from? Where they live in the area?
I think they're north of the border, right?
Yeah. Something like that.
I thought it was in Chattanooga.
Well, it's where it's supposed to be.
Is that where it is? Checking.
Yeah.
Checking.
Well, good luck on that. And are we doing anything special for the game on the 18th? I mean, this is you, two buddies going head-to-head, and you and Dilfer.
What is the 18th?
It's some game against Lipscomb. But we're not talking about that yet, are we?
What? You haven't figured the coach speak you get out of
it? I know.
One week at a time.
Yes.
Like, we're just,
hey,
mean, what are we talking about here?
Do the James Franklin. We're trying to go 1-0 every week.
Chase, if you were on, hey, I thought I thought he was playing himself on the 18th. Isn't that what he posted? Wasn't he playing us?
Is that what he said?
Yes. That's right.
Is that what it was? That's Am right. I right?
You're right. No, right? You're right.
Right?
I hope you win by 100.
I thought we got dropped. I thought we got dropped because it looked like Lipscomb was playing Lipscomb that week. that'll be fun. That'll be fun when it happens. Look, I'll be happy that I don't have to drive 2 hours for a game, right? We get another game here at Ensworth.
Yeah, that'll be good for sure. Tim, appreciate the time as always. We love it. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
See ya. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and, of course, Ensworth football coach. And look, that coach speak is getting better and better with each passing year. I'm very proud of him.
Yeah. I'm proud of you, buddy. You'll get there.
I'll get there eventually. Coming up next, we're going to talk about something really cool that happened with the Nashville Sounds, a perfect game. We will talk more about that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.